Just waiting for our other panel member. Finding the half an hour for lunch quite tough.
We're appreciative of that.
All right, so welcome. And you're Waka Katahi.
Yes.
And one of you is Sarah Downs.
I'm Sarah Downs, yes.
And with you is...
Kia ora koutou, I'm Caitlin Kelly. I'm the planner who's been working with KiwiRail on the conditions.
Thank you. All right, so the floor is yours. Obviously, we have read the submission and the evidence, and so whatever else you want to address us on, that's fine.
I'm happy to take questions if you are happy with what you've read, or I'm happy as well to take you through my evidence.
I think we will just ask questions because I think it is relatively self-explanatory.
Yeah.
And as is our usual practice, we'll ask Commissioner Mackinson, who is the traffic engineer, to ask those questions.
Good afternoon. I have a couple of fairly straightforward questions, I hope, and it is around the potential delivery of the freight ring road and the bypasses around Bunnythorpe. And I'm interested, without trying to pin NZTA down, because I appreciate you won't actually have time frames, but your views on likely delivery time frames for those pieces of infrastructure is the first part of the question. And then the second part is just, in your view, whether the proposed hub layout actually gives you the options that you may need in future to deliver what you need to.
Okay, so with respect to the Freight Ring Road, so the Palmerston North Integrated Transport Initiative is a 30-year program, and so in the first 3 to 10 years we're looking more at what can be done within the urban realm of Palmerston North to provide greater livability and reach those outcomes and greater safety before we look at what the proposed freight ring road would look like. So we've always said that the proposed freight ring road would be dependent on some triggers, which we're developing a monitoring framework for, and those triggers would be the need to push freight out of the city centre, and also then the other one would be the development of the freight hub up at Bunnythorpe. So we are dependent, but it is a 30-year strategic programme, and so that is our current time frame.
Thank you.
And to your second question, we're supportive of the options that KiwiRail have delivered, and the conditions that KiwiRail have worked through with Caitlin and the team in reaching agreement that whatever proposals were agreed through the designation, that there would be an integration plan for the network, so we would be able to work collaboratively with both Palmerston North City Council and KiwiRail on what that might look like.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. On that note of the conditions, so you have been working through with KiwiRail on the draft conditions. Have you seen the latest suite of conditions that have been put forward to us, which
Kia ora.
13th of August?
Yes, we have. We got sent them on Friday afternoon, and I reviewed them and confirmed we were comfortable with the amendments proposed.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Just two questions. The first is, in year 0 to 10, you talked about livability. Is that State Highway 57 improvements and things of that nature?
No, it would be more on local roads, so Palmerston North urban area. There are some proposed safety improvements on State Highway 3 on the Napier Road, and there are also intersection improvements for safety on State Highway 3 going out towards going out towards Whanganui and then State Highway 54 as well. So those are all activities identified under the Safe Speed and Infrastructure Program.
So that's in State Highway 3, that's working through the improvements to support the Whakaronga residential development.
Yes.
And the board approval, is that a conceptual recognition that subject to necessary triggers, the proposed works are worthy of consideration in the budgeting cycle of NZTA, Whakatahi?
So the board required us to develop the monitoring framework so we could understand and report back regularly on when certain triggers were being met by both Palmerston North work and Whakatahi work, and then bring that back to our board for further funding as and when required.
And once those triggers are identified as having been triggered, then there's still the question of the availability of Crown funds to support that work.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. Yes. So they would be put into a national prioritisation and program through the National Land Transport Program.
For many years, New Zealand, Palmerston North didn't feature much on the radar of Whakatahi. Has that changed a little bit over time?
With the investment that we're putting into Te Ahu Tauranga Manawatu Tararua Highway, it has opened a huge amount of potential in the region. And so with the Kiwi Rail Freight Hub as well coming on board, there's a recognition that Palmerston North is a strategic point in the transport network, with north-south movement as well as east-west, and the connection between our ports in Taranaki, Hawke's Bay and in Wellington.
So the security of that connection made possible by the, is it Te Ahu?
Te Ahu Tauranga.
Te Ahu Tauranga.
I'd like to say Manawatu Tararua Highway, because our local mayors get quite upset if we don't mention those.
As a consequence of Te Ahu Tauranga, that the economic case for further improvements is actually widened as well. So it's one of those cases where the investment you make has other flow-on benefits.
Yes. And we've also got Ōtaki to north of Levin, which is coming online in the next 9 years, which is now New Zealand government's largest infrastructure project in roading.
And what is the date, anticipated date for completion of Te Ahu Tauranga?
End of 2024.
Oh, so it's not that very far away.
No.
So that progress is going well.
It's going very well, thank you.
And I'll be interested to ride that one day.
Me too. And I'm expecting some of the commissioners to actually ride the cycle path on this turn.
Oh, it was a good achievement to get it there, but I'm not sure I'm at the age group now where I'll attempt that.
Electric bikes are great.
From memory, there was supposed to be a bridle path.
There was.
Much better option.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming. That's extremely helpful.
Oh, thank you very much.
So, Power Co next. Mr. Schofield.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Well, thank you.
So we've had your evidence and it's taken as read.
Okay, I've only tabled it this morning. Yes, I didn't get a chance to submit that earlier, unfortunately. So I'm obviously employed as an environmental planner by PowerCo. I'll take my qualifications and experience as read. Just noting that this is not expert evidence as such. It says my capacity as an employee of PowerCo, and I'm obviously authorised to present it on behalf of PowerCo. Paragraph 7, the purpose is to provide an overview of our networks within the area to be designated, outline the key areas of concern for PowerCo and the relief we seek, and respond to some comments made in the Section 42A planning report. I was going to give a little overview of our networks. I'll take paragraphs 8, 9 and 10 as read, just noting that the extent of our networks is shown as attached on the image in front of you now.
Thank you.
I just would like to briefly comment on the New Zealand electricity system. And the electricity system in New Zealand is an interconnected system that comprises several different distinct activities. And while the upstream aspects are fairly well understood, namely generation and transmission, the understanding and importance of distribution networks is often left wanting. So I've included this figure with the diagram that's on the screen in front of you in my evidence. So we've got grid scale generation on the left-hand side, the hydro, wind, thermal or geothermal generation that connects through to the transpower network, and then that transpower network delivers it to the major centres around New Zealand, and then it goes into the distribution networks, and it's those distribution networks that get it to the end customers. When looking at the supply of electricity to Palmerston North, various generators connect to the transpower grid, which conveys high voltage electricity to grid exit points,
mm-hmm.
and they're located at Bunnythorpe and Linton. So they are shown on the diagram below. So these are all the lines on that map are all transpower networks.
So they're the two main substations that we have.
Correct.
And that's why that's Linton is the one that the wind farm connection is now made to.
I'm not 100% sure if it's going into that one. I believe so. There is a spur line that you can see heading up into the ranges. I'm not sure if it's that connection there. It is definitely from a wind farm, that spur line off the side there.
Yeah, I don't think it's that one, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Paragraph 13, you'll note that the GXPs are located on the periphery of Palmerston North. They do not extend into the main city centre. It is the PowerCo networks that take supply from these two GXPs and get them to each customer within Palmerston North. And that's, I've said, as broadly illustrated on the image that's on the screen now. This image just identifies our networks operating at 11 kV and above, so it doesn't contain all our low what we call our low voltage networks. That map would be pretty much blotted out across the main urban area of Palmerston North. So it's therefore evident that PowerCo networks are critical to the supply of electricity to Palmerston North, and that criticality is reflected in the fact that our assets are classified as lifeline utilities under the Civil Defence Emergency Management Act. I'll also note that our assets are also explicitly recognised in the Palmerston North District Plan and the Horizons 1 Plan as we operate sub-transmission and distribution networks above 6.6 kV. PowerCo networks within the area to be designated. And this was the image that was included with our submission. So PowerCo has only electricity distribution networks within the area covered by the designation. We don't have any gas networks in the areas affected by the designation. As noted, PowerCo takes supply from Transpower at the Bunnythorpe GXP and uses a number of 33 kV sub-transmission lines to supply substations within Palmerston North. There are three separate 33 kV circuits passing through the area to be designated, and these are critical to the supply of electricity to Palmerston North. Probably a little bit hard to pick up, but there's one circuit right at the very top of the designated area. That's blue line at the very top. That's one 33 kV circuit. The second one actually joins an 11 kV circuit, so the 30 it's overhead, the 33 kV circuit's at the top, and the 11 kV circuit is underneath, separated by about a metre and a half or so, and that comes down and along Cleverly line and out, and the third one comes right down the side of the designation down Railway Road, and then we've obviously got another separate circuit that's outside the designated boundaries. So we've got three of our 33 kV circuits within that designated area. And to use a traffic analogy, Powerco's sub-transmission lines are like the state highways of our network. They provide high voltage links between substations, and customers generally do not connect to our network at such a high voltage. That may change with electrification of our economy and more process heat needing high voltage electricity, but by and large, it goes from our substation to our substation.
So what's the drop? How do you drop? You drop it at other substations in town, do you?
Correct. So get it through to what we call our zone substations, and then we'll drop it down to 11 kV, and we have 11 kV feeders heading out, which are each one of those coloured lines is basically one feeder. We generally try to have around 800 or so connections off one particular feeder, but it depends. If there's a high load, then we'll have less customers on it because they're using that capacity available. So the 33 goes to a substation, we drop it to 11, and then that goes into the neighbourhoods, and then we have local distribution transformers, which will drop it down again to either 230 or 400 volts, and that'll go out to homes and businesses.
So the green things are the dropping it from 11 to 230?
Yes.
The green transformers?
The ones that you see out on the on the roadside? Absolutely, yep. So we'll have transformers and also switch units. So it's similar to a switchboard in your house where we can control flows of electricity over our network. So if there's an outage in one area, we can isolate that and still provide, through switching, supply from another direction.
Interesting.
So the assets passing through the area to be designated directly feed 11,246 installation control points. And we can also provide an alternate supply to an additional 20,028 when required. It's important to note that a single ICP may provide electricity to serve the needs of a number of individuals. For example, a typical household would have one ICP. However, that obviously provides supply to all residents in that house. Therefore, while the number of ICPs served by these networks may not seem that great, a significantly higher number of people rely on them to meet their electricity needs. And these networks obviously supply electricity to homes, farms, businesses, schools, industrial activities, this building today, within Palmerston North.
So currently, what's the total number of residential units?
I don't have exact numbers on the I've just got numbers of installation, so the ICP number is all I get.
Yeah.
I can't differentiate easily between a residential house and a business and another type of organisation. I just get an aggregated number.
Yeah, so that looks, that could include businesses, obviously.
Absolutely, it will include businesses, schools, you name it. We have... with another modelling, we've typically applied a factor of about three. So if you've got 11,000 ICPs, we would typically say that they'll probably serve the needs of 33,000 individual people, be it through homes or people working at a business. So, you know, this building here might have one connection point, but obviously, you know, provides employment for all the people or supplies electricity to all the people employed for that.
Yeah, that factor works in this case.
Right, paragraph 21. So our key areas of concern obviously relate to continuity of electricity supply for assets that are currently located within the designation boundaries. So as I mentioned, we've got the 33 kV circuits and the red lines 11 kV circuits, and we obviously need to ensure that they able to continue We're wanting to ensure free and unrestricted access to our assets. We'd like to minimise the extent of road closures associated with the designation, as public roads are a key thoroughfare for existing and new network linkages, as provided by the Electricity Act. So,
just on that point, do you have easements to support those?
We aren't required to have easements. We've got a statutory right under the Electricity Act to install and maintain and access our assets within a legal road.
Yeah, I see.
So that's provided for under the Electricity Act.
Yeah. Okay.
And in this regard, I think particularly at the southern end of Railway Road, this area down here, and along, is that Robert's Line. The designation boundaries come over to the far side of the legal road. So basically that whole legal road is getting taken effectively away and will be closed. So we lose an entire corridor, which is quite detrimental to obviously existing networks, but we had actually, ironically, planned a new zone substation, and it's to do with the industrial area, but we'd actually tentatively marked in the area right in this location here, or thereabouts, which would be ideal from our network to establish a new zone substation. So what that means with the roads being closed is that we'd have to secure private easements across private property to get all connections through our network. Just on the fourth bullet point down there, we need to ensure that any buildings or structures that are authorised by the designation comply with the New Zealand Code of Practice for electrical safe distances. Obviously, we want to avoid physical contact and damage to our networks during construction and operation of the hub. We want to avoid earthworks that increase or decrease cover of our underground assets, and we've had this in the past where significant changes, if cover reduces, that's a safety issue for us with accidental strikes on our network. Likewise, too much cover over our assets can derate them, which means we have to get less efficiency out of those networks. And had instances where up to 3 to 4 metres is being placed on top of our assets, and it's very hard to actually physically access